They already kind enough to join us here on the program. Oh yeah, he's also a published author. What's happening, man?
Much, guys. How are we doing today?
We are doing quite well. A lot of stuff to get into today. It's that crossover season. You'll be covering Cowboy basketball tomorrow night with the Cowboys on a bye week. You know, schedule makers did some good things, for you with the bye week this week and
that,
everything.
That time you went to work.
Yeah, you know, get something done, Gags.
Yeah, well, the schedule makers were kind this week. Weeks after that, I'm not so sure yet, but it's certainly manageable this week. I'll give them that.
You know, starting with the football team, Gags, I know the scoreboard wouldn't say it was just complete domination, but if you watch that football game, I know it was 17-9 at one time and all that, but I never really got a good feeling that San Jose State was going to make a run. I thought Wyoming really dominated that game from both standpoints, offensively and defensively. Just some mistakes, the fumble, missed field goal, although it was a tough day kicking. I really thought they dominated. What were your impressions?
You know, I agree that, you know, certainly you look at the stats and even watching it, it was dominant, but hate to use this analogy, but I kind of was thinking, you know, as the game was going on, I'm like, this is almost kind of like a soccer game in some respects, where you see a soccer team just absolutely dominate a match, but maybe not finishing with goals, so to speak, but then all of a sudden the opposition is kind of sticking around, albeit maybe not convincingly, but at least on the scoreboard where it matters the most. You thought, God, there's just they're one score away from tying this game. And I don't know if I'll be honest, I guess I was a little nervous. I'm like, man, you know, Wyoming had, they had so many opportunities to put that game away, you know, in the first half. You know, in the second quarter alone, they had field position at midfield around their own 45 and one time even at the San Jose 42, and they punted all four times. It's just like, man, I'll be honest, I was a little nervous there for a little while just because you're keeping this team alive. You're still giving it hope, even though, you know, statistically they were dominating him. But I thought it showed a lot on that final drive where they did score the last touchdown, how they marched down the field and they ran it, and then, you know, hit the play action pass to Austin Ford, the tight end, for the touchdown. That showed me a lot. I mean, I don't know. I guess I wasn't quite as comfortable as maybe some others may have been, even though they were dominating like they were, because you're just really playing with fire when you're keeping teams in games like that. But I was impressed with the defense. I was impressed with I was impressed with a lot of things, but, you know, probably shouldn't have been, even though 24-9 is somewhat convincing, probably shouldn't have been that, but to finish it the way they did, I was certainly impressed with that.
They covered the spread, yeah, and that was the important part.
Exactly, Gags. How about that? Throwing the ball late in the game to cover the spread, throwing in the end zone. Who are these coaches? Who is that? That's not Brett Vegan calling that play, I tell you that much.
Oh, here we go with the play calling. No. I think I saw the text from you. I think you were the one that the first, right after it happens, like they cover or something like that. I'm
absolutely.
Like, yeah, that was good. I was impressed with that.
Absolutely. You know, not only was that defense dominating, I mean, they knocked that poor San Jose State quarterback all over the place, but they did it without their two, arguably, Gags, and I don't know if there's much of an argument, their best two defensive linemen, with Yo-Yo and with Carl out. That made it even more impressive to show just kind of they're starting to get some depth there along the defensive front that we kind of knew about. But, man, they're playing those three safeties. I mean, they're getting their best players out on the field, and it's really showing these last few games.
Yeah, you know, and even though you're right, I mean, that poor Josh Love, you know, if he's still not in hot tub or cold tubs or rehab or whatever, I mean, that poor guy, and I'll give him credit, he kept getting up, albeit slow most of the time, but he took a pounding. They only got one sack, but that doesn't truly reflect just the pounding he took. And you're right, I mean, the front got a lot of pressure, but, you know, they brought blitzes. You know, I know Logan Wilson, you know, drilled him a couple times, and a winger drilled him a couple, you know, at least once. I mean, you're right, without, you know, I agree with you. I'm not sure if you can really argue that the Granderson and Gaffon aren't the two best defensive linemen on that team, but there are some other good ones too. You know, Kevin Prosser stepped up at defensive end and had a very good game. Josiah Hall played well at defensive end. And then, you know, without Gaffon, I mean, Ravonte Holt and Javari Jackson have played well. Sidney Malulu, I think, maybe is playing some of his best football as a senior at the nose there. So, yeah, you know, this defense, you know, even going back to the Utah State game, guys, they're playing some really, really good football. I think playing football, you know, playing the type of football that maybe a lot of people thought that we would see much of the previous parts of the season. But, you know, times are a little different. You know, some of the offenses they're facing are a little bit different too. But, no, that defense was impressive. And without two really key guys, you know, really, you know, they didn't have Gaffon for CSU, and that happened the day of the game, and then they stepped up without him. That showed me a lot. You're right, Keith. It shows about the depth, but it also just shows about the improvement and the want to and even the confidence that this group is playing with right now.
There was two things. I was when Love got hit from behind by Prosser down there close to the end zone, I don't know how he held on the ball because he was getting ready to throw that ball. And I think they just actually pushed him into the ball so he didn't fumble it. And then I said just a few minutes ago, I think the reason they didn't take the penalty on the last play of the game was Love was alive at that point in time. They didn't want to take a chance that he might not finish one more play, so they declined the penalty. I mean, I say, I think he probably went from cold, you know, from a cold bath to a hot to a cold to a hot, probably still doing that now because he just got absolutely murdered.
Yeah, you know, they hit him a lot, and, you know, yeah, San Jose got some yards, you know, but that was the thing, going back to Keith's point about how they dominated, but, you know, give San Jose some credit. I know they're still struggling, and they're still trying to build things, but they made some pretty good adjustments, and it wasn't like they were marching down the field all over the place in the second half, but they certainly were moving, what they have, 39 yards at halftime. They moved it better in the second half, and were making a couple of plays, and that just started to, you know, make you a little nervous, but no. They pounded that poor guy. And again, it, you know, I'm sure maybe people would have liked to see more sacks and stuff, but if you can get to the opposing quarterback like Wyoming did last week, whether you're getting the sacks or not, you're giving yourself a chance because, you're stopping the run and you're making them throw and you're putting that kind of pressure. And those hits not just mount on a guy physically, but knowing you're probably going to get hit every single time you're dropping back. That gets in a quarterback's head, whether you're young or old. That gets in your head, and I thought that was a huge factor in that game last Saturday.
Gags, I mean, what more can we say about Nico Evans? 187 and a score. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Nico not playing last year with what we're seeing him do this year, and not being better than, you know, Overstreet or Trey Woods and the struggles they had running the ball last year. Is that hard for you to imagine that he has improved maybe that much or wasn't good enough to get in the action last year? Is that hard to fathom based off what we're seeing right now?
Well, based on what we're seeing now, right. Certainly it is. But, you know, everything's hindsight. You know, did he have that type of burst? I mean, that's the one thing that I think has made a big difference, but you know, he didn't really get a chance to show if he had that burst last season.
So I guess that's what I'm saying right there. We didn't get a chance to see it because he didn't get to play.
So I don't know. I guess we don't know if he had that last year, but he certainly has it this year. And I think that's kind of been the telltale sign of his marked improvement is, you know, even, you know, Craig Bowl mentioned it today. And I know Nico's mentioned this to me, you know, even, you know, going back to the spring where, you know, he was having a good year in the weight room going back to winter conditioning, but a lot of guys have good years in the weight, you know, good winters in the weight room, but you don't know how that'll translate on the field. But not only is it translated, but, you know, whether, you know, he got faster with this new strength coach with some of the drills or some of the work that they do, or that was always there and it just never had a chance to show. I guess we don't know, but I think that's been one of the biggest differences we've seen in Nico. And not that, you know, not the hard runs. I mean, sometimes, you know, a 4 or 5 or 6 yard run, you know, those tough yards can be more impressive than the long runs where he just outruns people. But that burst, you know, I would like to think if the coaches saw that, whether that's in practice, whether it's just a regular practice or in spring drills or wherever, that they would see that and try to utilize that. But I think that's something that he's really been able to develop over this past year, and it's just made a solid running back, a great running back to this point. That's been amazing to me. I'd like to think if coaches saw that in other aspects, you know, early in his career, they would have tried to utilize it, but maybe they didn't see it, or maybe they didn't see it in the right circumstances. I don't know, but I just know this. I'm certainly glad it's showing now, and it's, you know, I know people get upset a lot about, oh, run up the middle. Well, those runs up the middle work. a lot of times. And a lot of those long runs that Nico Evans has busted for touchdowns, and like the one last week, it then runs up the middle. So go with what's working, man.
Well, I thought the impressive thing about the touchdown up the middle on Saturday was he not only did he break up, you know, up the middle, but once he got in the clear, he actually increased his lead over those the defensive backs that were trying to run him down. He's not just a hard runner. He's got speed once he gets in the open, as does Chambers. I mean, that's the impressive part about it too.
You know, and another thing, and Coach Bull mentioned this today, and you know, look, I don't know if San Jose's defensive backs are the fastest guys in the world, but I don't think they're plotters or anything. But like against Boise, his long run against Boise, you know, those guys are pretty fast back there. I do know that, and he outran them. It's not like, oh, he had another long run against a crappy team. No, he's done this against good teams too, and better defenses. So this isn't, you know, a wash in the pan. Well, he can bust big runs against good defenses. No, he's busted big runs on just about everybody he's played against so far this year. So whether it's good defenses or bad defenses, he's doing it just about every game, and that's utterly impressive. What was the stat of his, what, 7 or 8 touchdown runs? He's ran for 322 yards on those touchdown runs.
Wow.
Touchdown runs.
Yeah. Gags, a couple quick ones here. I was, you know, getting to Sean a little bit, but we can say that for next week. But I saw a tweet you put out on Tyler Vanderwall. You asked him if he had any thoughts of transferring after this year, and I'll let you say his answer. I thought it was kind of a refreshing deal and kind of somewhat surprising. Now things can change, but he said the right thing to you, didn't he? It's a refreshing thing. It's not what you may want to hear. I thought it was refreshing to hear what he said.
Yeah, and I'll just read you. I still have it up. I'll just read you. I just flat out asked him. I go, you know, Tyler, do you plan on coming back next year based on at least what you know now? And it is exactly what he said. It's absolutely. And I say that because Wyoming was one of 3 schools to offer me a scholarship. I'm a Cowboy for life. I signed that letter of intent to stay here for 4 or 5 years. I'm going to give this school everything I have. And guys, when he said that to me, I'm working on something else for next week for the Air Force game. And, you know, he certainly said he wasn't happy that for lack of a better, he got demoted, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily
that's fair.
Truth or not, but it's still not something that he wanted to have happen or still wants to have happen, you know, but how Nick Smith has handled some of this stuff, you know, has rubbed up on him. And, you know, but another thing else said, he goes, look, I'm happy that Sean is tearing it up. I couldn't be happier for what we're doing. And, you know, he's getting us wins, and I'm excited about that. So, you know, whether it's lip service or not, I guess one would only tell, but I certainly didn't get a sense from the way he answered the question that it was that it was lip service. He seemed very genuine about that answer. And I don't know, you know, very animate, maybe is a good way to say it too, but it was nice to hear. I hope it's true. I don't have any reason to believe that he just lies or, you know, that it's not, but it was refreshing to hear. And to me, that says a lot about the kid. You know, that he wants to continue, you know, he certainly wants to be it's more than just football than being at Wyoming right now. And if that's the case, all the kudos to the kid if that is the case.
Well, I think the other thing you have to realize is he, you know, from a practical standpoint, he's looking out there and saying, hey, this guy running the ball as much as he is, I'm one play away from having to take over, because, you know, that's hard on quarterbacks when you run the ball as hard and as often as Sean Chambers is right now. Now, we hope he doesn't get hurt, but, you know, you never know what's going to happen with a quarterback that runs the ball as much as he does.
Well, and that's true, you know, and that's for any player. They're one play away from the next man up mentality that we hear a lot about. But also, let's just get through the season, however this season may end. You know, as of now, you know, Nick Smith graduates, and there's no other, you know, Sean Chambers and Tyler Vanderwall are the only scholarship quarterbacks coming back to this team next year, scheduled to come back for this team next year. So, you know, that's another thing to look at, too. So, yeah, you know, he's a play away, and even Craig Bowles said today, he goes, you know, it's not to say that Tyler Vanderwall won't have other opportunities to help this football team, you know, as a quarterback. And he didn't mention, like, yeah, we can move him to some, not that. I mean, you're right, Dave. He's a play away from being back out there. But, you know, he's still just a redshirt freshman, and there's a lot of football left. You don't know how, you know, every season's different, and, you know, we see that this year. Don't think we ever envisioned that maybe the offensive would struggle as it did. And, again, I don't think all those struggles have been all on Tyler Vanderwall. Some of them been, yes. I'm not saying he's faultless. I don't think it's all on him either. But, you know, a lot of things can change, you know, from game to game, from play to play, and even season to season. So, you know, that, I'll say this. It would be pretty cool to see, you know, Tyler Vanderwall and Sean Chavers around this program for another, you know, 3 to 4 years. That could be awful fun to watch.
One real quick, Gags, maybe just a real quick comment. If Jordan Naughton didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. My goodness. I mean, partially torn LCL from stretching during the game, the exhibition game. What a tough luck deal for him, because he had just kind of gotten back healthy, and now he's going to miss possibly 6 weeks.
I mean, when I heard that from Coach Edwards this morning, guys, I was just floored, and even so was Coach Edwards, because you know, we've all known about his back issues, and he's had a procedure done right before the exhibition game. And, so when he goes on the bench, he's stretching out and doing yoga type stuff. And now, I didn't see it happen or anything like that, but basically was doing kind of like a yoga type stretch to keep his back loose, and hurts his knee. And even after the game, he goes, yeah, I kind of tweaked my knee, but I don't think it's anything serious. And I'm like, I didn't even notice it during the game. It happened on the bench. I mean, you're right, guys. I don't know. I mean, I just feel almost sick for Jordan Naughton, for everything that he's been through, trying to stay healthy, and then something like this happens. Fortunately, it's not like a season-ending thing. You know, Coach Edwards said, you know, maybe 6 weeks, you know, maybe by conference play, you know, they can get him back. But my gosh, I mean, what does a guy have to do? You know, right. What does a guy have to do to stay healthy? And I just hope he can get healthy. I hope he can, you know, still contribute. The guy's worked his tail off, you know, really ever since he's been here, but especially in this off season, he deserves a better result than for all the work that he's put in.
Outstanding, Gags. I know we took some time from you, but we appreciate it, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks, man.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right, there you go.